call to worship comes from 1 Chronicles 16. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad, and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, thank you that you reign, Lord. You reign over us, and we just ask, Lord, you would come and move in this worship service, in this hour of time together. We pray your Holy Spirit would be present, that you would have your way, and that your truth would go forth. And so we thank you that it will not come back without some reward and profit and increase, Lord. And so we give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks for an opportunity to worship. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Would you join me in standing, singing number 110? Be seated. It is always a joy when we have folks who want to join with us in membership and service of the church, and we're grateful to have our sister here with us today, Edna Sarah, and we look forward to having her come forward this time and receive her as a member of the congregation. So, sister, would you come? You come to us from the church in Baltimore. It is the Faith and Grace Worship Center, and also have been faithful attending here at Monocacy for a number of years, for 4 years now. And we've been meaning to do this for quite a while, and it seems like we've finally gotten the paperwork and everything in order. And so we want to just make sure that we take the opportunity to do that. So. Sister, I want to ask you just a couple of questions, we want to, again, just hear from you. Do you now
reaffirm your faith and loyalty to Jesus Christ, our Lord, and His gospel. And will you willingly unite with us in worship and serve and share in our programs and supporting us with earnest prayers, regular attendance, and faithful service and stewardship as God gives you strength. And do you promise to live and share with us in the bonds of Christian fellowship, giving and receiving Christian love and sharing and bearing one another's joy and pain?
Yes,
okay. Would you pray with me? Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for our dear sister. We just ask for your blessing upon her. We thank you, Father, for her faith and for her family. And we thank you, Lord, for her blessings of being here and joining in us with us and serving and sharing together the things of God here at Rocky Ridge. And so, Lord, would you bless her in a mighty way and bless our congregation. We thank you, Lord, and we receive her as a member of this congregation. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
We have been receiving our gifts through the offering box there in the back there, and you've had an opportunity to put your offerings in there. And so we just want to hear from the scriptures concerning Christian giving. And it is comes to us here also from 1 Chronicles. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Let us pray. Lord, you have given us so much. Health and strength, breath of life. And you have allowed us, Lord, to work and to earn, and we give back that portion which you have given to us, Lord. And so we ask that you would use it and bless it. Pray that you would allow it to be used in a right way. And so we pray for our leaders and giving them wisdom and how to spend the resources that come, that it would touch lives here on the ridge, but also reach those around the world. And so would you ask the Lord that you would just bless in a mighty way and meet the needs in this congregation. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. We always want to take time to hear joys and concerns before we pray together. And so what is on your heart today? Yes, Nancy? There is something else you probably should order, right? We want to keep you as long as we can.
It's more. I think I'll ask for the shipment to be delayed by a month.
Others. Yes, Faye?
I have a prayer request this morning when I got up and I checked my phone. My grandson, which is 13 years old, had me a text. It came like at 6:30 this morning. And he says, Muzzy, he says, give me a call when you get up. So I called him. I thought, I wonder what's going on. Why is he up at 6:30? So I called him. He said, Muzzy, I'm so sick. He said, can you put me on the prayer list at church?
Oh, wonderful.
So I was very, very happy to hear that. So,
yes.
So please pray for my grandson. Yes. He feels better today. Yes. There's a lot of things going around in the school right now. So
yes.
Healing power, and I'm glad that he knows about prayer.
So. Amen. Mm-hmm. Knows where to call out to.
Yeah.
Others? Yes, darling.
Yeah, continue Travis and the Baker family, and our school board needs a lot of prayer.
Okay. Yes, Danny?
The Peters family and my Aunt Sandy.
Okay.
Yep. I got communication yesterday from Pastor Ed, and he took a spill this week.
Oh.
He fell off the step, he missed the step or whatever and fell, and he landed on concrete on his shoulder. So he has aches and pains, so keep him in your prayers. And I I know I only asked certain people this past week to pray for our grandson Cody, but Cody is doing much better. God is good. To see his smile is just, and to have him want to go out in public. So whatever medicines they're using, the Lord has provided them to use, is working. Our granddaughter Maddie has to go for some tests. She's having digestive issues. And keep me in your prayers. Keep Ralph in your prayers because he has to deal with me. Since my procedure and biopsy Thursday, I've not felt good. So I'm already short on patients. So I've been very snippy, and he's been very wonderful. So pray for me for healing and pray for him for patience.
Okay. We could probably all echo those same sentiments when we're not feeling well. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Oh, one more, Edna.
Mine is just asking to God, because today I celebrate the 31st birthday of my daughter.
Okay, her daughter's birthday. Congratulations. Okay. Let us pray. God in heaven, thank you, Lord, for an opportunity that we have to come boldly before your throne of grace today. Thank you, Lord, that you hear us and you know our prayers even before we pray, and yet you give us the opportunity to do so. And Lord, you have heard the requests of our wants on our hearts, and so we just ask that you would move mightily in giving traveling mercies, especially to Nancy and Ronnie. We pray, Father, that you would continue to bring healing and wholeness to those who are sick. And thank you for Faye's grandson. And we just ask, Lord, you indeed would touch him in a mighty way and show yourself strong in his situation. Continue to be with Travis and the Baker family and the Peters family. We ask, Lord, that you would move mightily in the elections that have taken place and the appointments that will continue, and especially for the local school boards here. Lord, we pray for your guidance and direction. We pray for Pastor Ed and ask you would ease his discomfort and bring recovery to him as a result of this fall. Thank you, Lord, for the way that you answer prayers. And we pray you continue to help Cody and meet his needs and be with Maddie, be with Ralph and Deb. And Lord, we give you praise. We have much to be thankful for birthdays and for holidays coming up, a chance to be with family and friends over Thanksgiving. And Lord, we just ask that you would move in a mighty way in those who don't have today. We know there are many people who are hungry, many people who are without proper security or homes. We know there are some who have lost everything in fires and floods and war. Lord, we pray for peace in the Middle East. We pray for peace in Africa and other parts of the world, Lord, experience so much turmoil. So we pray, Lord, you would move in the situation in Haiti. We ask, Lord, that you would have your way in India, in Myanmar. We pray, Lord, that you would move in situations, Lord, all across the country where still very volatile politically, strategically, Lord, we ask that your will would be done. And so, Prince of Peace, come and have your way and make peace. God, we are mindful of those around us that need direction. And so help us, Lord, to speak up, to share the truth, to help those come to know you as Lord and Savior. And so, Lord, bless in a mighty way, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for Brother Richard to come and share today, and we pray your blessings upon him as he talks about missions. And we ask, Lord, that you would just continue to move in the leadership here in this congregation. Pray that all would be done for your honor, for your glory, and that we would dwell together in unity. And now, Lord, hear our prayers. You've taught us how to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please join me in singing number 62. Be seated, but would you hang on to your hymnal there and turn in the back of your hymnal to number 537, and we'll share together in the unison reading of the scriptures this morning. Number 537, it's entitled The Great Commission. I'll read the regular print and you'll read the bold. Let us share together in this unison reading. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them.
And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted.
And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world.
Jesus said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day.
And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye have been, until ye be endued with power from on high. And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you have received power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. We have been blessed as a congregation and a fellowship to have with us in our attendance Richard and Sherry Golf, and they have been in the community for a number of years, and we are grateful to hear from Richard today. He's going to come and share with us a little bit about missions and also his recent trip to Bolivia. And so we look forward to what he has to care for. Bring with us today. Brother?
Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Pastor Tracy had asked me to speak about mission trips, and I'm going to give a little background, and then I'm going to talk about some lessons I've learned on the mission field, and then I'll talk a little bit about my recent trip to Bolivia in August, where it was the latest medical mission trip that we had. Just a little background, since I'm relatively new here. I knew I wanted to be a physician at the age of 8. Don't know how, don't know why. My mom was a secretary. My dad was an electrical engineer. But I felt I just knew I was going to be a physician. And there wasn't anybody medical in my family, so I look back now, I think it was basically a calling from God just to let me know where I was going to be and what he wanted me to do. And I was raised Catholic. And I actually was Catholic for a good long time, and I always believed in God, but never quite believed in Jesus. I just was okay with the God part, just wasn't good with Jesus. And as the kids got older, I realized if I was going to teach them what to believe, I didn't really know what I believed. And so I started reading Scripture, and I was searching for the truth, and I found the truth in the Bible, and I thought that was really neat. So I accepted Christ in 1996 at the age of 39, and I got into reading Scripture a little bit more. I tried once before, but never got anywhere with it. It just seemed like words. It just didn't mean anything. But this time around, it made much more sense. And I got into it, and I'm going to have you read Proverbs 22:6.
Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Yeah, so family was very important to me. And actually, at that point, I started teaching high school, Sunday school, with my group. And we taught for about 15, 20 years. And each one, for those of you that don't know, I have 7 kids and 17 grandkids. And so I'm really big on family. And so we raised each one of the kids through high school. And I went on to teach a couple years after that. But then I came across this thing called the Great Commission. And go ahead and read that one.
Again, from Matthew 28. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.
Yeah, and I liked a couple things about that verse. It kind of struck home. One is to make disciples of all nations, and secondly, that surely I would be with you always. I just thought that made really neat sense, and if I go on mission trips and have God right by me, that was a pretty powerful moment. And so I was thinking about where I could spend my time and where I could fit in. And so my wife and I both enjoy travel. We've taken all our kids to all 50 states. And actually, at this point, I've been to 54 different countries. So travel is a big part. And then faith and family and all the medical part came together. And I decided maybe I should start doing medical missions. And so we checked the internet back in the day. And I came up with a group from Georgia that was sponsoring trips. And I signed up for a trip to the Peruvian Amazon. It was on a medical boat, and I figured that would sound like a good start. And we had my first son, Michael. He was 15 at the time. And we took him, and I had him invite a friend because I knew I'd be busy doing the medical part. I wanted to keep him occupied and entertained. So my son Michael and a friend Jimmy came along, and we took our first trip in 1998. And let's see, I tended to pick areas that were primitive and were remote, and I liked that. I liked the, I guess, the adventure and just being out there. And I also enjoyed the notion of working with local missionaries and local pastors to help expand their churches. So I would, the usual model would be that we'd find a remote area, a local missionary who wanted to expand into a different, into a smaller area. And we would usually set up a medical clinic, because medical clinics would draw an awful lot of people. Their basic needs that everybody had needs. We would set up a clinic in those sites, and then we'd have a medical station, and before they get their medicines, everyone had to be evangelized. So actually, we really did as much medical mission as much as it was evangelism, but it came under the heading of medical missions. So so for the past, probably 25 years, or 21 years actually, I've done 15 medical trips to, or 21 trips in 15 different nations. And so, let's see, so Michael came with me to the Peruvian Amazon. Next was Brian. Brian came with me to the Ecuadorian Amazon Basin. Next was Mark, and Mark came with me to Venezuela. There's an area called the Delta Amacoro, where people live on stilt houses in the rivers, and we went there. Next was Kelly, my first daughter, and we went to South Africa. Next was Elizabeth, Amy, and before we did Amy, I did two independent trips, one to India, Northwest India, and I actually did another trip to Siberia. So I've been to the hottest areas and the coldest areas, and that was quite an adventure up there. There are a group of people called the Nenets, and they are nomadic people, but they live in, they do herd reindeer, and they live in teepees made out of reindeer hide. And that was a fascinating trip, but that was a... So then Amy went to Murmansk, another area of Russia with me. Elizabeth went to Cambodia, and Andrew finally went to Philippines. And then I had a little bit of a break in between. I actually had a stroke in 2015, and I took some time off from that, but after I was done with the kids too, we took a little bit of time there. But then I started back in 2017. We had a couple trips to Haiti too in between, but I did one to Kenya, Moldova, Morocco, Mauritania, and Bolivia finally. And then we had also a separate group that went to Bangladesh one time, and we did refugee camps from the folks in Myanmar that came over to Bangladesh. So we've had quite a number of different areas, but I want to tell you some lessons that I've learned in the midst of this. So rule number one is spiritual warfare is very real. And can you go ahead and read Ephesians 6:12 for me?
For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places.
So in the United States, where basic human needs are all met, Satan does his best work basically by letting you think nobody think we need a God. We can do it all ourselves. So things like self-sufficiency, apathy, busyness, distraction, diversion, all those kind of things, just I think is the way Satan works. He doesn't have to do much active stuff. He just kind of hangs in the background and lets us set up our own ways in the wrong direction. But in the areas where there are basic needs are not met, so you have food, water, housing, clothing, money, healthcare needs, all that kind of stuff. It's a different situation. Satan is obvious and apparent, and Jesus is very real and very tangible. So you have personal experience with him and just the spiritual warfare in these places. And the second is the importance of prayer and fasting. And go ahead if you can read the next. Scripture, Ephesians 6:18.
Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints.
So prayer is very powerful. And I appreciate the fact, everybody prays here every week for each other. I think that's huge. It's powerful. It's very, very important. And there's always things and situations that arise and circumstances that happen on the mission field where there's nothing you can do but pray. And so that's been very powerful for me. Prayer support is also extremely important. My wife's always been praying for me. We have folks at home pray for me whenever I go on a trip. And I think that group prayer is very powerful and very fulfilling. The other thing we need to do is be open to change. So one of the things we talk about mission is everything has to change. So in the United States, we're full of plans and schedules, and we have to be approached with a situation with some certainty that we know exactly what's going to happen. But in the mission field, it all goes out the window. In fact, it's gotten to the point where if it's something goes according to plan, I wonder if God's really in it, because really God expressed himself in the interruptions that you experience when you're on the mission field. It's been pretty fascinating. Second is prompts, or what I call spiritual leadings. My wife always goes shopping for me before I go on a trip, and she comes back with all kinds of weird things, and I usually wonder what it's about, but almost every time they'll have some specific meaning on the mission field. And I think she's done a good job. We've gotten the ketchup and, desitin and peanut butter and insoles and just different random things you think wouldn't mean anything. But she follows those leadings, and I find out how it kind of comes to fruition. I bring it back to her and say, hey, that was a really good one. So that's been really neat. And third thing is just the idea of fasting. Fasting is kind of like prayer extended, and it's just denying self. You know, and there's many, many ways to fast. I typically fast about a day on every trip. I go without food or water for 24 hours, and I find that it just draws you closer to God and just really enhances your prayer and all that. And even the New King James Version of Mark, they talk about how something's going to be driven out through prayer and fasting. So it's a combination of, I think fasting just accentuates the prayer. So next I want to go through some hardships. When you go on a mission trip, you're going to face hardships. And so let's say not only before, during, but also after the mission trip. So go ahead, if you can do with James 1:2-4.
My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing.
So there's always trials and hardships you go through. I remember before my very first trip, the first trip was over Christmas. We left Christmas night. So it was about a week before Christmas. I think I was going to Sports Authority or something. I walked in the door, I got hit by a pain. It drove me to my knees. And actually, if people had known me, they would have thought I was drunk. I mean, I was just didn't seem out of character. I was walking, the next thing I was down on a knee. And it just hit me hard, but it actually ended up letting up just before the day we left. But that was one example of physical hardship. But also, it's a function of adjusting different kind of climates, the very heat of the Amazon and around the equator, to the desert communities like Mauritania and all that, to the cold things like Siberia. In Siberia, let's see, you got to minus 40 with 40 mile an hour winds, and the exposed flesh will freeze in 4 seconds. So it's extremely cold. And they talked about taking a glass of water, throwing it up in the air, and it freezes before it hits the ground. I didn't believe it, but I did it. I got a glass, threw it out, and it froze before it hit the ground. It's extremely cold. So that's, but again, thank God we have good dress wear and proper clothing to keep covered up and to stay safe. There's things like all kinds of illness, shots. Some things you get shots for, dengue fever, yellow fever, all that. You take medication for malaria when you're in areas at risk. There's still always a risk to get it. There's chiggers. I've gotten around my ankles all the time when I go through fields and things. I just usually get chiggers. They love my ankles, and that drives you crazy. There's all kinds of parasites, and even traveler's diarrhea are all things that people typically will come against when they get on the mission field. And that's just physical things. And there's the toileting. I mean, actually, I carry a roll of toilet paper with me all the time. You don't realize how much you may need it. And also, the facilities aren't like here. You don't have a usual bathroom where you can just go and do your business. So you have to learn to improvise and do the best you can. And then mentally, there's anxieties and stress and depression. And there's something called post-mission depression, which means once you've been somewhere and you come back to this culture, you realize how blessed you are, but also how great the needs are overseas. And you hear people talking about they're getting a second garage or adding a second thing on the house or redoing their home, and you realize that money could be better spent somewhere else. And it's very hard to actually adjust back and forth to that kind of environment, but it's very real. And the anxiety and stress and the guilt that you feel and see. And spiritually, if you have a weakness, Satan's going to find it. He'll find exactly where you're weak, and he knows how to work it. And he's quite a crafty guy, but again, Jesus is much better. And then just the actual travel, the flights, there can be issues with flights and with the customs. And I've got myself almost in trouble a couple of times in Bangladesh once, where I won't lie, and they asked us where we're going, which sometimes why I prefer not to even know where I'm going. I just want to know an area. And because he said, don't go to this one area. And I said, well, I don't think we're going, but I didn't know. So we almost couldn't get in with that, but that was another thing. And just travel within the nation. When you go to remote areas, you got to get there. And it's not always easy. Sometimes, you know, here we have big buses that go there. You either find cars and you got to drive for 13 hours, or and it's not easy roads. It's rough roads, and it's all kinds of, we've taken boats and trains and all kinds of things, different places to get where we're going to go. Then language and communication. We do with translators. And sometimes I've had two translators for a specific place. One where we would send from English to Spanish, then Spanish to the tribal language, which was Warao. And so you can realize it's like playing telephone, where you know your message doesn't get through, but you just got to do the best you can and hope that just smile and treat them well and that they'll catch on somehow, some way. But it's very, very difficult, and it's things we take for granted, but again, it's not always the case. Other thing is cell phones. Cell phones are relatively new, and my wife and I always had a deal where when I do a mission trip, no news is good news. So we never call, never talk. Even now, even though cell phone's available, the rule still stands that no news is good news. I'll call her if I need her, but other than that, we let it go. And for the new folks out, it's a very unique. They only need to have internet service and all that kind of stuff. I've also been amazed at how available cell phones and internet are. Even these tribes in South America, you know, you go to these villages and there aren't many people, but they have cell phones. And you wonder where they come from. And same with what I call the Coke missionaries. Coke's been everywhere. I don't know how they got there, but you go to these villages and you won't see anything, and there'll be some empty Coke containers and just laying in a place because they don't have trash. So it just lays around. It is what it is. And the fourth thing is God provides. So this is Philippians 4:19.
And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
And this sounds basic, but God is faithful to provide all you need. And just through faith and obedience, he plays it out. And again, when there's a need, just through prayer and fasting, God will provide. That's the only other lesson that I've learned in a big way. So I'm going to talk a little about this August and the trip to Bolivia. I've taken each of my kids on a mission trip. This time I took my son-in-law. He lives in Seattle, and he's a physical therapist, and he decided to come along on this one. So we're leaving early one morning, and actually, I don't know if you remember back in August, it's when the hurricane was supposed to hit. Hurricane Irma, I think it was Irma? I don't remember which one, but they were forecasting it to come the morning I was to leave. And in fact, they probably thought that most flights would be canceled. So I called the team leader and said I wasn't sure I was going to make it. And so anyway, I went over to my son's Michael's house because my wife was away. And he checked his weather map and saw that we had probably a two-hour window where I could get to the airport and just wait and see what would happen. So we got to leave by 3 a.m. To be there by 4. So he'd get back by 5 because the window was between 3 to 5. So I wanted to make sure he was safe, too, coming back. And we heard about the potential for road closings and stuff going on in Virginia. But when we left with just a little bit of rain that ended when we pulled out of his development. It didn't rain at all until he came back and was in his bed is when the storm started. So we timed that perfectly. And I was able to get off okay, and I was supposed to go to Houston and meet up with my son-in-law, David. Now, David was in Seattle. He got on his plane, but there's water inside his plane. So they canceled his flight. And he had to reschedule for the next day. And so I was supposed to meet him in Houston, so we didn't get through. But he came in the next day, and we picked him up, and he joined our team. But that's another example of just how things seem like this, not going to work out, but God, he does work thing out if you just trust him. And David had paid $100 for a golf bag. Oh, so there's a had a golf bag full of crutches and canes that he had been given. He works at a tribal village out there, and the Indians had given him a bunch of canes and crutches to take with us. He had the bag, and sometimes airlines will allow you to do the bag for free if you know it's going to be for good cause, good purpose. His airline wouldn't do it. They made him pay $100, and then they lost it. That's the only bag that didn't make it to our camp was the bag that had the canes and crutches. And but again, that's something you just brush off and move on. So we met up with the team from the U.S. There's about 12 of us all together. We started in a town called River Alta. And go ahead and read Romans 12:4-8 for me, please.
For we have many members of one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our own ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, and he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness.
So, you know, we're all have different gifts, and we came together as a team, and these people I've never met before. I mean, I knew David, but I mean, I didn't know any of the other 12. And so you come together and you meet. There's different providers. There's physicians, physician's assistants, nurse practitioners, dentists, physical therapists, pharmacists, nurses, helping people. And yet everybody brings their gifts together, and you form one body and one team. And it's fascinating in the situation where at least in the last probably 10 trips I have, they've done through Christian Medical and Dental Society, where there's people sign up and you've never met each other before and you get together. But within a day, your function is you really work well together as a team. And that's something Sam talked about a month ago, the thing from Jude about his beloved, as having a common foundation of being Christian. And just how that is so powerful and so important when you come together overseas. You've never met each other, but you really instantly have a bond of trust with these folks, and it just gets played out in a positive way where you can just do almost anything. So the first day at clinic, there was a few rough areas, but at the end of the day, we were in pretty good shape, and we thought we had it going pretty well. Now on the bus ride back, somebody started getting sick, and then somebody else started getting sick, and somebody else started getting sick, and soon about almost everybody but three of us had nausea and vomiting and bad diarrhea. I was fortunately one of the ones that didn't get it, and David did, and it knocked out some of our team members for the next day. And it may have been something they ate or something they had at lunch, but you don't know, but three-quarters of our team was all down and out. And yet, again, everybody had a quick recovery for most people, and everybody got better within 2 days, but some people took a little bit longer than others. So that was a thing. And then coming back from the clinic on the first day, we did have a bus, and actually we had a bus, so we were in a remote area, so you had to go across this river by a ferry, and the thing could hold one bus or about three, well, there are two different ferry boats. They weren't like ferries. These are flat barges with planks that literally ride up. You got to ride up the planks, and then they go that way. One ferry held three, the other held about six vehicles, but we put a bus on at one time, and that took about all the space for the six. And so they got across the river. But on the way back, the battery in the bus died. So we were driving back, and their lights weren't working, and the guy pulled over, and that was it. So there was a local missionary who called for some help again in the other town, and they had a bunch of different trucks came out and helped folks. I stayed back to make sure everybody got off. I ended up going back in a police car. I got a police ride back, and that was pretty neat. But the next day when they started coming back across the river again, the ferry, it was about a 30-minute thing between getting on the ferry, getting across the river, and then coming back, for the next thing. I'm not used to doing that. So again, it took longer than usual. Like it would be an hour and a half to 2 hours to get to the clinic site. Well, sometimes it took 3 hours because they had to wait for all these ferries to come back because it could never hold more than 5-6 cars. And we're all split up a number of different cars. And there are about 12 Americans, but there's probably another 10 or 12, 15 even local national members, which have been local missionaries, pastors, translators, and all that. So there was a number of different people that had to get it there to clinic to make it happen. So the clinic, we saw the first 3 days were in a place called Portachuelo, and the second two were in Puerto Gonzalez Moreno, which is just two different small areas. And basically, the other message here is people are people everywhere. Their needs and basic needs and wants are really essentially the same. We see all kinds of dizziness and fatigue and anemias, and we have limited testing, but we have some cataracts, low back pain, joint pains, just that's the basic thing. Now, in this village, there's an awful lot of female diseases. We'll call that sexually transmitted diseases, because in the area where we were, one of the things that was striking was 80% of the kids suffered from some kind of abuse. It was physical, mental, sexual abuse, all kinds of things. It was even part of the culture, almost a cultural norm. But you had to try to fight that. The other thing that was interesting about this village that made it a little less attractive to me is most of the folks we ended up seeing were already Christian. And so my heart, my desire is to go to areas that are underserved and to, you know, bring people into the faith. But again, we supported the folks there and did the best we could. We also had a group that did a pastor's conference, and there's another group that did, one day we gave water filters out for the folks to take back to their village so they get clean water. Because we take that as a, you know, turn your spigot on, it's ready. There, the water isn't always safe, and sometimes you take, this thing's a life straw, a water thing I take that will filter out most bacteria, most parasites from that kind of thing. And then we went to a local church service. Pastor Chase, if you can do Psalm 119 for us.
117,
sorry, yes.
Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Love him, all you peoples. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord.
So he brought that up about 2 weeks ago. And the whole idea is, praise the Lord, all you nations. And it's the nations together. And when you go overseas, one of the always things I enjoy is going to local churches. And even though you may not understand the language at all, you know some of the hymns, you know some of the music stuff, so you sing in your language, they sing in theirs, and that's pretty cool. And yet, it's just really kind of interesting, fascinating to just worship together. It's another thing that just draws people together. And even though your language may be totally different, it doesn't seem to matter. And even if the kids go, they don't care about language. They go and they just find other people to play with and do. And so kids are like natural magnets for this thing. It's amazing. And there is a place for everybody in the mission field, but not everybody's called to go. So if you're called to go, don't ever worry if you're going to be good enough or have what you need, because all you need is just a desire to go. And it's fascinating. I think if anybody goes, it'll strengthen your relationship with Christ very quickly, and it's very powerful, and that's good. I do appreciate the fact here that everybody has a gift, and whatever gift you're given, make sure you use it. All right? It may be overseas, it may be right here. And when I hear about the clean and social hall, and everybody shows up, the number of volunteers that show up here, I really, that sounds good to me. It's good for my heart, just because it says everybody's active and involved, and they're giving them the gifts that they have. So please share your gift. If you don't know what it is, pray for it. Just experiment with it. Try it and see how it works out for you. But I think you'll enjoy it if you do. Thank you. If anybody has any questions, we can do it. Or we can... That's just good.
Well, that was quite interesting, and we appreciate it so much for him sharing. We've been trying to plan that and get that in the works, and so finally it's happened. I want just to share a couple of thoughts about the Great Commission in closing. I remember as I was thinking about mission trips, that I had a chance to go to Jamaica to help with a missionary there. He wanted me to go along as, to be the interpreter, and so that brought back a lot of good memories, having had experienced that. And so I can relate to some of the things that Richard said. You know, the contrast that you see so often in many of these countries is, you know, the rich and the poor just oftentimes side by side. And so in Jamaica we saw, you know, a very nice house, very large home, and right next to it, you know, a shack made out of tin. When we were in Montego Bay, we had gone to visit with a bishop who was in charge of a denomination. We were hoping to be able to rent some space in the church, and he lived up on the top of the hill of Montego Bay. Well, you know, Montego Bay is the place where all the tourists go and the big ships come in and have the luxury there of the beaches and everything. And so we went up to the hill, and he had a house there. And a lot of the places there are fenced in. And so we went up to the gate and the dog was barking. And so a man came over to quiet the dog and to see what we wanted. And we said we were there to meet with the fellow. And about that time he came out on the balcony. And the man turned around and said, "Master, your guests are here." And so just the contrast there is so stark. And so from his balcony, you could see the beautiful Montego Bay. But if you turned around and looked this way, you would look into the slums of Montego Bay. And so that was one of the things that hit me, was the stark contrast between the rich and the poor. But here's a couple of thoughts about missions and the Great Commission. Henry Morris says that in terms of Matthew 28 here, it says, "Go ye." He says it should be read, "as you go." Jesus had already by this time told his disciples that he was sending them into all the world. And now he was saying that as they go, they were to go making disciples, then baptizing them, and then teaching them all that they had been taught by Christ himself. And so, as you go, and I think that's an important thought to keep in mind, you know, as we're going. And so it might be that, you know, we're going to the grocery store, or we're going here or there, wherever we are, as we're going, we should take time to share the good news. Billy Graham wrote these words about the mission of the church. He said, "Jesus Christ spoke these words, commonly called the Great Commission, to his disciples, men he called one by one to follow him. In it, he stressed the believer's role in evangelism, discipleship, teaching, worship, and missions. This command also became a mandate for the early social action, since part of obeying Christ is to help those in need. The early church believers met together in people's homes to worship God, read the scriptures, and pray. They cared for each other's physical, emotional, and spiritual needs and encouraged spiritual growth. Acts 2:47 tells us that the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. The church's mission is evangelism and discipleship. We are to preach the good news of God's salvation, and we are also to help Christians grow spiritually. Part of evangelism and discipleship is caring for the needs of those who are within our local churches, within our communities, and across the world." And so I think that's important, and that's one of the reasons why I so support the shoeboxes. This is a great ministry of Operation Christmas Child through Franklin Graham. It's the Graham Ministry. And these shoeboxes are going to go to kids. Many of them probably have never gotten a Christmas present before. They tried to go into areas they haven't been before. And it's a wonderful opportunity to share the good news with kids in particular. And then one last quote here. Charles Stanley says that we can confidently bring the truth of Jesus to the world because we have Jesus' divine authority to back it up. Our job is to be his faithful messengers. His job is to prosper his word. And so we go as we go, we share. And as we share the truth and as we share physical things, we also then are expecting God to do the great work that only he can do. And so he will prosper his word as he said. Let's pray. God, your church is to be universal, inclusive, community of believers of all nations. And you've called us to go, and as we go, help us to share the good news, to make disciples, to baptize them, and to teach them all the things that Jesus taught his disciples. God, thank you for those who have literally gone into the world to share your truth and love. And we ask, Lord, that you would bless those who go, bless those who help, bless those who are on and off the mission field. We think of our current missionaries at home and abroad. Sister Maru Brown is one. We pray, Lord, that you would meet their needs, that you would keep a spiritual hedge of protection around them and their families, and that you would give them fruit for their labors. And I pray, Lord, that we here at the Monocacy Church of the Brethren would be able to do more for the spiritual harvest of these last days, for time is running out. Help us to do that for your honor and for your glory. And it's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen. We will close our service together by singing number 497. Now may you be blessed, and may God's kingdom come. May his will be done. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. And all of God's people said, Amen.
Praise God from